course not, Malcolm. We'd love to hear it.
No one knows just what I've been through. I can't stop the pain inside me. Now I'm staring out my window. Children play, they seem so happy. Why are we here? Going nowhere. Why does my life feel so empty?
Meow, 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 meow.
What are you doing?
That's the Meow Mix song. No one knows just what I've been through. Meow, 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 meow.
Now I'm staring out the window. Meow, 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 meow.
I want chicken. I want liver. Meow Mix, Meow Mix, please deliver. Now you know the catch. Meow Mix, Meow Mix, Meow Mix.
Okay, okay, stop it.
From Buffalo, New York, we'll get to those grain silos eventually. It's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the ups, downs, lefts, rights.
So when do we start recording?
Of the Buffalo music scene. I'm Ryan Gurnett, and it looks like we have some new blood on the episode today.
And I'm Cassidy Dwan. No, but seriously, when do we start recording?
On today's episode, we will talk with local recording artist, poet, writer, editor, publisher, educator, and 2018 All-WNY Music Award winner, Mr. Chucky Campbell.
We'll find out how he gets some of hip-hop's best artists to record with him, what's next for him and his group, The Black Den, and unlock some of his secrets for successful battle rapping.
So hi, Cassidy. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ryan.
So for those of you not familiar with, well, you, why don't you tell us about your musical background?
I've always loved concerts. It's pretty much the best energy in the world. Mm-hmm. And I decided, because I was a moron, to go to school for music industry.
Yep.
Had a lovely time at SUNY Oneonta. Came back to Buffalo to work my dream internship with Ani DeFranco at Righteous Babe Records. Also got to hang out with Steve Bachkowski down at Hall Walls and experience some pretty awesome free jazz that totally blew my mind. And I found myself more an enthusiast in the sense of promoting everyone else's band and show and the best new thing than, you know, being a mediocre violinist or karaoke singer extraordinaire.
Oh, you're a great karaoke singer, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It warms my heart. But my thing now is really trying to help with the Buffalo Infringement Festival as much as humanly possible. It's definitely, you know, an organization after my own heart as far as exploring our local musical talents and introducing our local scene to greater beyond musical exploration and other crazy things.
Sure. And for those who can hear, we have Cassidy's daughter, Tallulah, reading some books in the background. Do you want to say hi?
You could say hi, Lou. She's two. She'll do her own thing.
Yeah. Well, we're grooming her to be ready for the podcast in a couple of years. So, who are your favorite local bands? Who do you enjoy?
You know, I think I always had a thing for... I like the waves of the thes, the waves, the tins, the...
Sure.
I really like Dolly's Ghost, now Aircraft.
Oh,
I
they're
try
wonderful.
To follow those guys as closely as possible in their projects. I'm also interested in the busker scene because the truth is we've had some really great prominent busker acts coming through and setting up in Buffalo. I feel like Mikey Strongman, the 20,000 Strongman, mm-hmm. in any, you know, any arrangement is always wonderful. And I feel like David Adamczak and Ryan Campbell and some of these other guys that play in these pickup bands are more interesting to see time after time what they're exploring and getting into.
Absolutely.
You know, as I mentioned, my time at Righteous Babe, I'm really a fan of Sonny Baker and anything that he's doing musically, because I feel like that cat is, you know, he was an intern back when I was there, and to watch his growth as a musician has really been cool.
Awesome. I had another question. I had a follow-up.
There's Chick Rockers, too, but that would just be too streamlined with the whole Ani DeFranco.
Oh, yeah, shit, that's too obvious. That's too on the nose. Where's your favorite place to go see busking?
Busking?
Yeah, you said you like buskers. Where's your favorite? If you could pick a place, where would you like to just go and just check out some buskers? Ooh. Like, what would be the best place for that?
I feel like the open mics, both between Nietzsche's and Milky's in Allentown and the Elmwood Village, are cool. I know that Suburbia hosts its own slew of open mics, and I don't find myself exploring those as often as I'd like to, but the open mic scene, and then the festivals, when you're in the art festival summertime swing of Who to Catch, it's more or less that you're hearing these groups by accident and then following up with them later, you know? I certainly feel that way about 20,000 Strong Men, and I would support any bit of that fun. Who else is awesome? I'm thinking about why I didn't have a cheat sheet here of awesome,
because
notable.
We don't believe in preparation here. That's
Tyler Westcott and the Well-Worn Boot.
I'm not familiar with them. I'll have to check them out.
Oh, my gosh. So, like, if you're thinking about some twang, and it's not even that I'm all into, it's just so old-timey cool to hear people who can pick around a banjo
or absolutely
fiddle about a fiddle. And, you know, I think I'm so hooked on it right now, and why my mind's on it, because the spring is sprung.
Oh, yeah. It's
and we're ready
today
for some awakening here.
Sure. I'm not the biggest banjo fan, but damn am I impressed by anyone who can do that, because I tried sitting down for one, and I was a disaster. So it is a cool instrument.
It's the same people who then have their homespun little kickbox percussion machine.
Oh, it's called a cajon.
Oh, is it?
You just learned something
today.
Look at that.
I learn new things every day.
Educational podcast.
That's what I'm here for.
All right, so we are going to we're going to take a break. We are going to play a new Scarecrow Show song. I wish we had like an alarm noise sound effect we could put there. I haven't heard any of it yet. They're not releasing it digital for a little while because they wanted to, you know, actually make money off their music, unlike many artists. So I got this last night. I still haven't had a chance to listen to it, so I'm really excited to hear it as much as you folks are, hopefully. So here is Climbing the Ladder by the Scarecrow Show on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Better than not make a change. Some
So we are now dancing while a baby cries as we record the rest of this podcast. So a quick correction, Well-Worn Boot is actually Folk Faces.
Well, Tyler Westcott and Projects, right?
Okay.
As well, Folk Faces and The Observers with Josh Gage from... he used to be the host of the Nietzsche's Open Mic Night, Mr. Josh Gage.
Oh.
These people are all involved in so many projects that, again, I have to keep much better notes.
Yeah, no, sometimes I book Jess Collins for things, and I just to be like, do you want to play? And she's like, which band? I'm like, just whatever you want to put in there.
And pick any of your awesome,
yes.
And we'll throw that in.
Yes, yes, Witch is amazing, and Orations is cool, and Baby Machines is probably my favorite, but it's like, whatever you want to do.
Baby Machines is legit. I think that lady, I had a little fangirl moment with her just recently, because I had to explore in person how much I admire her art.
Yes, at the March 22nd fundraiser, which we talk about later in the episode.
Oh, great.
They were great, and I love her guitarist, Eli, I've known for 20 years, and he just makes the coolest, gnarliest guitar sounds, and I don't think I've ever really seen her play bass like up close like that before, and she's really good.
It was captivating.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, this is supposed to come out April 1st. April 1st, Scott Leffler. which is the same day that we are doing submissions for Infringement Festival.
Totally.
So... I think people are tired of hearing me talk about it. Do you just want to take like a minute and just tell people why you think they should sign up for Infringement Festival?
I would love to take a minute. You know, myself, I signed up for the Infringement Festival last year for the very first time as a performer of sorts. After being an observer of the festival and mostly a waitress on the sidelines, I took it upon myself to create a project. And I think that this is a genuinely strong opportunity for someone who's on the fence about creating any of their own musical, theatrical, poetic, performance art and visual art projects. It's really something where we have handholding available to promote this event for you through Infringement.
Sure.
You're connected then with other artists and other like-minded business owners who will support you then in your art for years to come. I think that the connections people make throughout the 11-day festival are incredible.
Absolutely.
Year after year, you have these acts from out of town returning and mixing into the Buffalo music scene, and it then creates opportunities for these scenes to mix,
mm-hmm.
and that's always awesome. So I think the thing about our submission window this year being from April 1st, April Fool's Day, through April 15th, Tax Day... We've got these 2 weeks where you don't have to have it all pinned down, what you know,
yeah.
you're doing in cement, but you can dare to dream, and you can put in an application, and we kind of take the ball and it gets rolling so that by the
sure.
time the festival is here, midsummer, you've got that dream reality. What's that word?
Words.
That dream's real.
Absolutely. So if you're interested in signing up, I can tell you firsthand we are having amazing problems with our website and our submission system right now.
Ooh.
So the struggle is real.
The struggle is real.
And absolutely. So check out the Facebook page for Buffalo Infringement Festival. There will be details there on April 1st about how you can submit.
Hey, are we still doing the submission event where we're hosting?
I was just about to say that.
Oh, gosh, I'm excited.
I believe it's April 2nd.
Perfect.
At the Pussy Willow Gallery.
Where's that?
That is 141 Elmwood.
Yeah, so
boom.
It's the old Gateway Gallery, no? The yellow one?
Well, it's Heidi's office.
Yeah, I don't know
what was there before.
It'll say Pussy Willow Gallery.
Yes, we've got an event for that on Facebook. It's on April 2nd. If you have questions about signing up, if you want to come in and use one of our computers, sign up with someone like me staring over your shoulder.
If you need someone to dare you to submit your proposal in the first place, show up and there'll be plenty of people to do that.
Sure. And then we're also doing a fundraiser on April 13th. And we are going to have all sorts. We're going to have a couple computers there too. And we'll be able to aid anyone who wants to kind of sign up as we get towards the end of the submission period.
Great.
So yeah. Infringement Festival coming up. Check it out. And, yeah.
Can't wait.
Word.
This is Alec from Ghostpool, and you're listening to allwny.com.
And we are back on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music podcast. I am joined with our erstwhile St. Bonaventure-ian located Producer Chandler Pozawinski.
Oh, what's up, Ryan? Hey, Chandler. Thanks for having me. That was the best intro I've ever gotten, ever. So
that wasn't even written. Now that, you know, Nate's gone, Will's gone for a few months, so you're going to start getting the intros.
Oh,
you're going to start getting some jokes, too.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
My wheelhouse is old jokes, so I don't really know how we're going to work with that.
Very
good. So, let's talk about some of the shows that happened recently. Now, you saw Gold Steps at Stamps. Why don't you tell me about it?
So Gold Steps, while they're not a local band, they're actually from Texas, but they were the first band that I ever got to interview over a year ago, and they were just so excited about what I was doing, and even though I had no idea what I was doing, they were just really excited that someone was talking to them and was excited about their music, and through that, they drove my love for like being like a music connoisseur and like writing about music and doing things like this. So this was their first ever time in Buffalo. They were on tour, and I was so excited when the show first got announced like 4 months ago. I was like, wow, like they're actually coming up. So I got to see them in person and got to do another interview with them. They had some of the best merch I've ever seen from a touring band ever.
Sure, like what kind of stuff?
Oh, they had, so usually, like, they're a small touring band. You think they'd have, like, a few t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
They had sweatpants, like, hoodies. They had, like, two different choices of windbreakers. And their t-shirts were so soft, and they were just amazing.
Oh, that's the best, isn't it? Soft merch is great.
It was some of the best merch I've ever seen.
I think we're going to do a podcast, like, an episode where we talk about good and bad merch ideas, because there are really a lot of super original ideas that you can use for merch.
Absolutely.
That kind of are outside the box that'll definitely get people's attention like that. What does Gold Steps sound like?
So they're like a punk rock band. It's fronted by a female, and she almost reminds me of like Hayley Williams from Paramore.
Oh,
like,
sure.
She gives me those kind of vibes, and they're just really energetic on stage, and she have a really nice sound. And then some of the bands that opened up for them, one was Periodic Table of Elephants.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming up to us from Rochester, and I was blown away by them.
They're a cool band.
Yeah.
That's a great name, by the way.
they have like the, you ever seen like their drum head? It's got the elephant with the mask on.
Oh, no, I have not seen that.
That was really cool.
I have started a band. I met a wonderful singer-songwriter who is new to the area. Her name is Jen DeSantis. Wow, we played at Gypsy Parlor. We did a 1 hour set before our open mic set started. Mm-hmm. So, I met her at the Music is Art Music Alliance event.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she needed a bass player, so we just practiced Sunday and Monday, and we did the show Tuesday. And it's Jen DeSantis again is her name. The Jen has two N's, and then it's DeSantis. You can find her on Facebook. She has this kind of Tori Amos, Fiona Apple sound to her voice, and she plays piano like Ben Folds. So it's really progressive piano playing. She's not using like 1-4-5 progressions.
Yeah.
She's like the progressions, even as I'm playing them, like, it's like, this doesn't feel right, but it sounds good. So I'm going to be playing some shows going forward with her.
So is it just her on keyboard and then you on bass?
We had a drummer as well, and to the very extent of the phrase, he comes in with this, I tried to pick it up, it is super fucking heavy, suitcase, and then he opens it up, and there's a piccolo snare, and a snare stand, his hi-hat stand, and his hi-hats, and a small throne, and then he built hinges onto the suitcase so he could hook a kick pedal up to it, and he just kicks the... He just kicks the suitcase. He just uses the kick pedal on the suitcase. And, like, the beater head is a rubber ball, so you could get that right, like, bump, bump, bump.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it has its limitations.
Absolutely.
It's certainly a pain in the ass to mic a suitcase live. But, like, you know, something different,
absolutely,
something
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, you're playing Gypsy Parlor, you don't probably don't have the room or the, you know, it's Gypsy Parlor.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, check her out. We'll be doing some shows together, starting with, I think I'll be playing with her. She's playing on a show I'm doing on April 26th at Milky's. All right, and then one other previous show. I am exhausted today because I spent yesterday at Mohawk Place for our Infringement Festival fundraiser. It was Infringement Invades the Hawk. And, man, it was awesome. Like,
I was so mad that I missed that show.
It was just like a big party. And kind of funny, I got my name pulled out of a hat at Casa de Pizza, and I won a free pizza party for, like, my quote-unquote co-workers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, the podcast has like 4 people, and it was this is for like 25 people, so yeah. It's like, I'm not doing that. And it's like, so I couldn't really figure out what to do, but then I found out, I'm like, I could put it the same day as the infringement fundraiser. So I told all the bands, I told all the infringement people, you want to know how many people came? No one!
No way.
I told 25 musicians, I told drummers that there was free food and no one showed up.
So you had to eat 25 people's worth of pizza by yourself?
I do have like 2 pounds of chicken wings upstairs. I brought a giant box of pizza to Mohawk for the Mohawk staff, actually.
Yeah.
Because like it reached like 5:30 or 6, and I'm like, I don't know if anyone's coming. We have this huge table reserved, and it's the UB men's and women's basketball game going on, so the place is packed. Eventually, it just gets to the point where I feel bad, and I'm telling, like, I'm like, you guys can use this. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And even with the owners, I'm like, I feel bad about this. And they're like, you know, sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. Don't feel bad. So they were cool about it, but I just thought it was amazing that I could throw some, like, you tell that many musicians and no one shows up for free food. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm stymied. Okay, the fundraiser itself, it was great. It started with local rapper Kelly Valucci, who he played with, he had a drummer play with him, which...
That's awesome.
Honestly, any live instrument with a hip-hop performer is, for me, a better way to do it.
I 100% agree.
So, last time Chucky Campbell played an infringement event for us in February, and he did the same thing. He had brought some horn players and stuff, so he was fantastic. Then we had Disraeli. He's a local, kind of an ambient electronic synthesizer kind of guy.
Okay.
He's a genius. Like, I'm not even joking. He's a Tesla engineer.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. One of my friends talked to him a little bit. And if you see his, I mean, he's one of those guys where if you look at his synth setup, you're like,
he knows something.
Yeah, you're like, okay, this is a smart guy. Yeah. Like, you can't just figure this out without, being a real smart guy. So what he did was really cool. Then we had the Baby Machines, which has Jess Collins, who's also in Orations, and Ghostwater, and I think she has another band that I'm not mentioning, and it has my buddy Eli playing guitar, and, she has a Florence Welshy kind of operatic vibrato to what she does, and then, Eli, I've always said, is, like, makes the gnarliest guitar sound. Like, he's not the best guitar player in Buffalo, but he makes the gnarliest sounds.
Yeah.
Like, he reminds me of, like, Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth with the way he does things. So, out of all of my Jess Collins bands that I've seen in the last 6 months, I think Baby Machines is my favorite one. It was pretty cool. Then we had a friend of the podcast, Shannon Vanderlyn, played. She didn't have a keyboard cable, so she had to use an acoustic guitar, but I got to actually hear some acoustic guitar arrangements of songs like Nightmare, which we've played on this podcast before, which is one of my favorite local songs. So I was really excited about that. I actually videotaped that, so I'm like, I might never see this again. Mm-hmm. I'm getting this. So she was great. Passed Out played next. I was so excited to see Passed Out. They played such a good set. Honestly, like, I've heard the album. I love those guys. The live show was great. Their drummer got in a car accident on his way to the show and ended up Ubering from North Tonawanda to get to Mohawk Place.
That's commitment.
So, fucking, I don't know that guy's name in particular, but, like, thanks for doing that. Like, that's badass. Yeah. That's rock and roll. That's, you know, they were like, Andy, the singer, he comes up to me and he's like, right when they were supposed to go on, he's like, it's going to be about 10 or 15 minutes. I'm like, dude, if your guy's doing that, I'll wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then as I was saying that, the sound guy comes by and he's like, dude, I was just saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So that, you know, no problem there. They were great. Grace Stumberg played, if you've never heard her, just this big, booming, beautiful voice. And then last was the Scarecrow Show, who we've talked about ad nauseum on here. Like, it was late. They went on at, like, 12:45. Those guys were tired, and they still came on, and they kicked some ass. Like,
I've heard they put, like, on just a crazy good show.
They do, and, like, you know, a lot of the crowd left after Grace, and it was late. So,
yeah,
and, you know, the last slot's always tough. But, you know, they toughed it out, and I appreciate them doing it. And it was they put on a great set. So anyone who got to stay late enough got to see a really exciting set. So, yeah. So
sweet.
That was a fantastic night of music, and we're going to talk about the next infringement fundraiser coming around in the upcoming shows. And welcome back to the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. We are here in our newest iteration of the Struggling Studios, christening our new equipment with local recording artist, poet, writer, editor, publisher, educator, and 2018 AllWNY Music Award winner, Mr. Chucky Campbell.
Wow, what an introduction. I appreciate that.
You are a man of many, many hats. Just to start with all this different stuff you're doing, like where do you find the time and the energy for it? Or are you trying to find stuff that overlaps a little bit so you can kind of do a little...
I think a lot of my stuff overlaps.
Sure.
Just as far as, you know, writing and language is kind of what unites everything that I do. And then from there, I kind of just try to get as much done as I can. I mean, the truth is that I don't have time to do everything. And it just seems... I get a lot done because I think I just have a lot of ambition.
Sure.
So I kind of shoot for the stars and land in the clouds most times. You know.
Yeah, that's still not a bad place to be.
Somehow.
So before we dive into your music, one of the first conversations we ever had, you talked about winning some battle rap competitions back in the day.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Which ones were they?
I won, I used to travel around and do a lot of battle rapping. You know, I'm originally from the South. I grew up in Kentucky, which people don't think of for hip hop or battle rapping. But there was, I'd say the mid '90s to the late '90s, a big scene there that was kind of initiated by a big festival named Scribble Jam, and so Slug and Blueprint, and you know, a lot of those other guys that were indie rap names at the time had kind of put together this huge festival, and Scribble Jam was at a place called Annie's in Cincinnati. They used to bring graffiti artists from around the world to come and graffiti this huge wall, and year after year the festival kept growing bigger and bigger, and they started having breakdancing competitions and freestyle competitions and freestyle battles, and I kind of was cutting my teeth with some of the guys there. So you had like legends like Juice from Chicago, but also household names like people like Eminem, and you know, Eminem actually through Scribble Jam I think got second to Juice, and that's what got him in the Rap Olympics, which is how he got discovered by Dre, you know, like,
wow.
You know, I was in more than a couple of Scribble Jam battles. I ended up winning a battle in DC. I remember a couple of big names was in that at the time too. The big names that I think only a lot of indie rap people might know, like Icon, the Mike King, and I ended up winning another battle, and it was the last one that I was in. It was in Atlanta, Georgia. But then I kind of stopped battling after that because I became more of a songwriter.
Sure, absolutely. So, if you had any advice for aspiring local battle rappers, is there anything that that really worked for you?
Battle raps change so much now. There's like a whole other scene now, like where people set up battle raps months ahead of time, and then they, like, instead of it being improv or off the head or what we used to call freestyle, now it's like all planned out, and like you're studying your opponent and setting up arguments and stuff. But if I were to go back in the day, or if we were to like maybe stage a traditional kind of battle rap now that followed the rules as they were followed back then. With improv, it's really important that you're able to kind of come off the head.
Sure.
Come up with witty things to say. And also be ready to kind of formulate your raps around what you think is going to be said about you, which kind of proves that it's on the spot. You know, like,
yeah.
One of the things that I used to think of is I kind of reverse engineered the idea of freestyling. So I would imagine a formidable opponent who would try to break me apart or say things that would be cutting against like my style or just me as a person, and then like rework my ideas from there.
Sure.
You know? And that way, no matter what was said to me, I kind of could have something in response, you know?
Absolutely.
I know a lot of people though, they kind of used to kind of set lines up, so they would they would have like a really funny line that you would hear like every, you know, couple of battles, but nobody would ever say, oh, that's a written line. You know? Mm-hmm. So some of the lines are kind of preloaded, and then, so you always got something in your pocket, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Like every, I think hip hop artists should have like a verse that no one's heard or that you've written that you wrote basically just to do it for the purposes of braggadocio or just to test yourself with language.
Sure. You know? So I have to ask, because I'm completely ignorant on the topic, what are the Rap Olympics?
Oh, the Rap Olympics were freestyle battles that used to happen out in L.A. And okay. The winner won like a huge grand prize and got interviewed by record labels and got their demos seen by a group of people. People at the time when M got second in Scribble Jam, he went to Rap Olympics and performed so well, he didn't win the Rap Olympics either. But he came in like second or third.
So he meddled, is what you're telling me.
Right. And back then, that was a big deal. So everybody was kind of looking for the next star at that time.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I think there was kind of an empty space in hip-hop that was floating around. Like, it was, you had what was happening on the West Coast with a lot of the gangster rap that was becoming popular. And then you had a lot of really, really East Coast rap that had like a Wu-Tang feel or a more sample-driven style with like hard drums and this kind of different approach to rap music. But like somewhere in between there, what record labels were searching for were stars.
Yeah.
You know, and so they were thinking, okay, how can we kind of advance or benefit from hip-hop and commercialize it? So,
sure.
Right? So a lot of these, like, kind of movements in the West Coast, they were arising out of the culture that was built out there. And a lot of rap that was coming from the East Coast was coming out of, you know, inner-city environments and had, like, a dark, you know, different idea of kind of what was happening at the moment. But record labels didn't really want to push either of those things that hard.
Sure.
Because if they did, then it was they were seeing it as it could have been detrimental to the label.
Take the advice, you know, get that unbiased opinion and find someone who you can trust to give you that opinion. And I think that's super important. So did education bring you to Buffalo?
Well, I guess I graduated with my PhD from the University of Southern Mississippi in 2010, and I was offered a job to come teach up here at Bryan-Stratton College. So I ended up coming up here and teaching as a college professor. And then some other events kind of happened. At that point, I hadn't rapped for about 7.5 years.
What was the reason behind stopping?
So in 2005, I was in a street fight. My jaw was broken in two places. I have two metal plates in my face.
Wow.
One on the right side and another on the left.
Do I have to ask if you won the fight?
I didn't fight back.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I mentioned my mentor previously before, Ralph Prater. Like, Ralph was my best friend, but... shortly after I had moved back to Kentucky from Nashville, Tennessee, after we were pursuing music, Ralph was always troubled in some way. He had, you know, not only did he come from like a more impoverished, less fortunate situation, parentally, his mother and father weren't really around, and he, you know, chemically also was troubled. He had chemical imbalance. Like, I'm not sure exactly how or what he like the situation, but
something wasn't right.
Yeah, one night he kind of freaked out, and I had to fight back because I loved Ralph, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just it was unfortunate, you know, the situation after that. They really tried to throw the book at him, and I ended up writing a letter, which I think basically got him out of any kind of long stint in jail. Like, he got out, I think, in like 4 or 5 months. But there was a group, crime victims group out of Louisville, that paid for the surgery on my face. It was
pretty extensive. Like, I my jaw was wired shut. The doctors told me that I was probably going to have trouble articulating some words, that I definitely wasn't going to be able to do music again. And so, really, that was the reason I really didn't pursue music again for a long time.
That's insane.
Now, when I moved to Buffalo in the first year after taking the job, Ralph committed suicide.
Oh.
And I hadn't talked to him for a really long time. It was really tough for me to try to forgive him for the situation. So I for some reason, I would come home after work, you know, every night, and I used to, like, write, you know, short stories or poems or articles. But I found myself just writing raps, and I couldn't stop writing raps. So, sure. Ended up reaching back out to Willie, and me and Willie put together a number of different songs, which ended up becoming my debut album, More Die of Heartbreak.
Sure. And that came out in 2013?
Correct? Yeah. It was quite a long time ago.
So, do you still experience limitations because of kind of the way your jaw's been rebuilt? Is it different than when it was when you were younger?
Yeah. I mean, I actually think I look nothing like I used to. But, you know, other people tell me it's not, you know, I obviously have maybe issues there. But, you know, I had to have surgery a year and a half ago. But we had to cancel a summer tour. So we had booked 30 dates on the West Coast, and I had to basically call all these venues that had and cancel. I never cancel shows, but I had to, because the plate that was on my right side had shifted. It was caught inside of a tendon in my face. They were talking about all kinds of things that could have happened, like where my face would be frozen in a certain place, you know. And so when they told me that, I knew I had to get the surgery. Right.
That's intense. Usually I ask later if anyone has any horror stories, but you had one. You came right up from one right away. So, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to play one of your songs. I think we're going to play Power, because soon as I think Chucky Campbell, I get that wow. I get that lick in my head. So, any kind of introduction you want to give the song?
Power is a song that features Raz Kaz, which is one of my heroes growing up that I listened to. It also features Mad Dukes, and the song was put together, I think, in a day and a half. At that time, Starfield's Productions, that used to be downtown. So it's quite a cool production with the horn players all on it and everything.
Awesome. So you're going to hear Power here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Guess who's back? You're now rocking with the true and living. Held captive to the truest vision. Chucky Campbell, Raz Kaz, and the magnificent Mad Dukes.
I'm not a title, I know I deserve it. Been smiling all year, still it got you nervous. Been holding the lane while watching them curve it. Still building a name from the depths of the surface. Bruh, you want the baddest, you got the legend. Say a prayer to opposers of this thing we reppin'. My exploits is on epic, so X noise. I hold court, no damn gavel, and then deploy. Boy, Lord willing, return with the winners. More living, more sinning, no matter religion. Only remedies, the stories you tellin'. My mission more than vivid, it's wicked, twisted, hitter. You get this on.
Yeah, got the whole world tuning in. So go turn it up louder. Yeah, feel the surge when they talk to y'all. Now you're brimming with the power. Yeah, 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 now you're brimming with the power.
Reintroducing the best ever. Did it, finesse, clever. Lyrics, West weather, get it. Sunny, it never rains, so cow, my profile. Resemble great white attacks when world smile. My whole style is hostile. My means murder mics from Mississippi to Moscow. Mr. Tipsy, you dizzy like sippy cups. Breastfeeding whiskey, I'm like 50 bucks plus 50 bills. That's keeping it 100, meaning I'm pretty ill. Mogul status sitting on 20 mil. Traps is jokes, all I hear is that theme music from Benny Hill. No boys, Johnny Gill.
Yeah, got the whole world tuning in, so gon' turn it up louder. Yeah, feel the surge when they talk to y'all. Now you're brimming with the power. Yeah, 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 now you're brimming with the power.
On the other side of pain is power. Without struggle, there is no progress, but the choice is yours. I once knew a man in love with his pain. He was no more than a slave in love with his chains. His life felt like a loop he couldn't escape, so he buried his power, disguised it as hate. And everyone he loved, he pushed him away, cause it was easier to leave than ask him to stay. Easier to blame, criticize, and defame. Easier to complain than actually change. Easier to dream than work through the pain. And easier to hate than create a better. I'm pursued by a power you manage to take for granted. A prototypical pattern repackaged, I felt it happen. In a vision, color palette of madness, and now you found it. Words and pictures, panoramic and candid. I got you open like this. Rap is always making me laugh, like skinny jeans and weak raps didn't exist in the past. When you rap, if I were you, I feel like less of a man. Like holding Caitlyn Jenner's testicles and Donald Trump's hands. Stand for something greater, shining light in the dark. Stars align and I predict the prophet's path through my palm. All along I pushed through envy, hate and doubt for the art. So when you were writing raps, I was writing songs, come on.
Yeah, got the whole world tuning in, so gon' turn it up louder. Yeah, feel the surge when they talk to y'all. Now you're brimming with the power. Yeah, 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 got the whole world tuning in, so gon' turn it up louder. Yeah, feel the surge when they talk to y'all.
And that was Power here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. We return with Chucky Campbell. So, it looks like you've got a lot of names working with you on your most recent album, which I'm... What's the name of it? I'm blanking on it right now.
Taking Back Tomorrow.
Taking Back Tomorrow. I noticed Talib Kweli, right?
Yes.
That is one of the bigger names on there. How do you get those names? How does that work? Is that something where you know them as friends, or is it more like a kind of a straight hiring process?
With Talib, it was a little bit of both. You know, the first time I saw Talib or met Talib was in New York City. And mm-hmm. So we were at an academic conference, actually. It had nothing to do with music. And I was talking about... race in America,
mm-hmm.
and given I did a TED talk on language and social identity, and Talib was in the audience for that, and so got a chance to meet him, and then he gave me his card, and then I think it was 6 months later, like strangely, he was booked at the Waiting Room in Buffalo.
Oh wow.
I had a couple of my friends that were opening up for him at that time. I think it was Devin Charles was opening up for him. And so I went and checked that out. And so saw him again and told him that I did music because we didn't get to that the first time.
Sure.
And then I looked at his card and hit his manager up and said, you know what? Like at this conference in New York City, then I saw him again in Buffalo, and I was wondering if he'd be open to working on this song with me. So me and Willie had a song that we thought would fit him well, and we sent it along to him. And you know what? He listened to that song, and he says he didn't want to rap on that beat. and then we sent him another beat, and he listened to that one, and he didn't like that one. And then he had heard the song Synesthesia that I did. It was a single,
and it was about the same thing I was talking about in the race and identity and language.
Sure.
And so he said, send me that beat. And we sent him that beat, and he wrote over it, and then we got his vocals back, and we made a remix, and we built around his verse.
Awesome. Yeah. So, not to get too much into the money aspect of it, but does he get, like, a flat rate for that, or does he get, like, a percent on sales? How does that work?
He gets a percentage, like, he gets a writer's credit, and so as a producer, Willie usually takes like 50% of the song, which is a normal cut.
Sure.
And then, you know, I normally would take like the other half, but instead, like, we both kind of sacrificed to get Kweli in the door and gave him like a larger percentage than we would normally be able to give out.
Sure.
So that means, like, you know, not only is his name on it, so he knows he's going to get hits through Spotify and all this other stuff, but then there's also, you know, there's a fee that we throw them too. Just recording and writing the song.
Okay, so they get paid up front, and then they get a percent later too.
Yeah, he gets a producer and credit, a writer's credit, and he also got a little bit of money for it too.
Is his name is his face on right. the cover too?
No? Oh no, it's a. But I mean,
he gets to name the song.
I wouldn't be surprised if he would. Yeah, if he would ask for something like that.
So, do you think is it worth spending that extra money that comes with a larger artist like that? Do you think that kind of you get your return on investment with something like that?
Oh yeah, we got more than our return's worth. But I mean, the thing is too that this last album was more than I've ever spent on any album ever. You know, like mm-hmm. so what we gave to Lib was just like a drop in the bucket. It didn't even feel like that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I spent way more on music videos. I spent probably $20,000 to $25,000 on music videos.
Wow. Who did you go to for your videos?
Denny Krimblask, Creative, did most of them. Okay. And then there's a couple lyric videos that we did as well. But these are big productions. I mean, we were, instead of it being like a normal rap video, like where like I'm rapping at the camera or it's really aggressive, we chose to tell stories. And so sure. like with every, we had three interconnected music videos that were telling one Ooh, story.
I like that.
Yeah.
That almost harkens back to MTV a little bit for me when they used to play music videos and have, you know, music programming.
For sure.
So at what point did you decide on shifting from kind of, you know, to, you know, you're a quote unquote positive rapper. So mm-hmm. has that always kind of been your thing? Did that kind of switch at some point?
Oh, when I first started rapping, I was like the furthest thing from a positive rapper or person. I was just I probably stopped using profanity around 2011.
Oh, that sounds fucking terrible.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing, if you're around me, you would never be able to tell because I curse all the time. So it's like it's kind of like a more of an effort instead of, because I talk about a lot of dark things in my music.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, you know, don't always be that person who's bringing darkness to people's lives, you know, like, so if I'm going to present the darkness, I want to present also the other side, like the silver lining to the cloud.
Sure.
Kind of thing. And oh, go ahead. Yeah. Oh no, that's not a big deal. I guess what I'm trying to say is that a lot of the reason that I don't curse is it doesn't really have anything to do with censorship. It's more like reaching people.
Sure. Oh yeah, that now I remember what I was going to say. Do you find that, you know, with, as you're a teacher or a professor, I should say, do you find that kind of having that role kind of, you feel more comfortable kind of being more of a clean rapper, knowing that, you know, you are the best dressed guest we've probably ever had on this show? So does that kind of feed into it at least a little bit, kind of knowing that as a teacher you probably have to be a little more protective of your image than, you know, like me, for example?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I think that you know, it runs hand in hand with being an MC too. Like KRS-One calls itself the teacher. You know, like the idea of MCing, being a master of ceremonies, is like a little deeper than just being a rapper or an entertainer. Like you have to have a message, you have to have something to say, and then on the other side of that, you know, I think you also take more of responsibility for that message. On the other end, and as a teacher, that's commonly what I'm always doing. So sure. All my information has to, that I'm presenting to people, it almost has to contribute to the knowledge that they already have before they got in front of me. So like, what people don't tell you, or what a lot of teachers don't tell you, is that teaching school is the most terrifying thing in the world, because you have to every single day have something that someone else is not or doesn't already understand or know.
Sure.
And you have to be able to explain it so well that it comes across in simple terms, where it's not like decorated in some kind of, you know, twisted, you know, gnarled language. Instead, it's presented in a way where anyone could understand it.
Sure. Do you think there's room in the industry for both the positive and the negative, or would you just kind of, would you prefer to see less in the negative?
Yeah, I think it's all balance, you know?
Exactly.
I think that everything has its place, you know? And I think we already get a lot of dance music. We already get a lot of music that's has a lot of profanity in it.
Sure.
You know, I think we get a lot of the darkness. I think we get a lot of the stuff that's so light that we can't even stomach it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's a middle ground there somewhere that that should be more represented.
All right, folks, Chandler and I are looking into the crystal ball. Chandler, I see rock in our future.
Oh, I see a little bit of roll too.
Oh, beautiful. So let's talk about some upcoming shows. First off, on April 12th at Mohawk Place, Johnny and the Man Kids are releasing their new EP.
I am so excited about this show. Johnny and the Man Kids, one of my all-time favorite local bands. And then Passed Out's playing
Passed
as
Out,
well.
Passed Out, they're my favorites. I will see them every day of the week if they're available. We just listened to the new Johnny and the Man Kids song, too. It sounds great. Oh, so yeah. I think this new EP is going to be great. Yeah. Their last EP was great.
Their new EP is called You Made Me Hurt, and it's coming off of Admirable Trait Records. So I think they just signed to them, so they're going to be doing some... I'm looking forward to the future of Johnny and the Man, because I think they're going to be doing some really great things.
Yeah.
But if this new EP is anything like their last record, which was self-titled, so it was just Johnny and the Man Kids.
Oh, it is We Are Johnny.
We Are Johnny and the Man Kids, I'm sorry. But it's going to be a great record,
yeah.
And you guys should be at this show. It's on a Friday, too. It's April 12th.
The other bands are... Halo Nelly and Award Show. Are you familiar with the other
I've ones? Seen Award Show. When actually the last time I saw Passed Out, they are really sweet as well.
What do they sound like?
A little bit like that grungy rock kind of vibe.
Okay.
Really good. They will fit that bill very well, I think.
Sure.
That's a very well put together bill. So.
And for those who haven't heard Johnny and the Man Kids, they sound like the Strokes. I hate to sum up a band by just saying the name of another band, but I really like the Strokes.
No, yeah,
but
yeah.
That, I mean, it's their influence is right on their sleeve there.
Yeah.
But their music is still interesting and original enough that I don't think it's not like a complete
mm-hmm.
ripoff.
Yeah.
Where, you know, sometimes you have a band that's like they're just ripping off the Strokes. I don't think they're ripping off the Strokes. I just think they sound a lot like them.
Yeah.
And that's cool with me. And then for those who haven't heard Passed Out, it's kind of, I describe it as like angsty, anxious, nervous, like 90s alt-rock.
I agree.
And, I heard the recordings, and I finally saw them live, and like, man, when Andy's voice gets louder, I just,
mm-hmm.
he's just got one of those voices where it gets louder, and you just like don't know how that sound is coming out of that person, but, I love the way he writes songs, and they're super nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
I met them all last night, and they were great. So, that is April 12th on Mohawk Place. Then on April 13th, we are having our, I believe this is our final Infringement Festival concert fundraiser. We've
mm-hmm.
got I think we're doing a flea market event in June, but this is the Infringement Festival Variety Hour.
Nice.
We're going to have performances by Manic State, this, DJ Soyotos. We're going to have Red Huffy, which is the singer of Green Schwinn,
mm-hmm.
with Pam Swartz from Hooked on Cassiophonics and Ghostwater. So
mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see what the two of them
put together.
Bring out.
Yeah.
I
I'm sure it's going to be weird and interesting and fun. So I think that'll be great. And then Brass Pro and the Waterfront Revivalists, featuring a friend of the podcast, Jessica Doctor, from a few episodes back. I guess they play venue shows. I didn't know they play venue shows.
That'll be an interesting setup. I'd be excited to see what they're going to do.
I can't wait. I think it's going to be like, I wanted this. I like making these shows like parties just because there's so much happening. And I think is going to be a great atmosphere. We're also going to have local drummer Joe Garetti has offered to do table magic.
Yes.
So that'll be happening. I actually offered him a slot. He does this really cool one man show, but it's like an hour of setup and an hour of breakdown.
It's a magic show?
No. Oh, he has a regular show.
Okay.
It's a one man show where he does like, I didn't really say that right.
Yeah,
he plays like electric drums, and he has like looping pedals and all these electronics, and it's a really cool, but it is like, it's intense.
Yeah, yeah.
So I asked him if he wanted a slot, and he told me that, and he's like, I can do magic, and I'm like, fuck yeah, do magic. We have a dancer named Honey Giselle. She's going to be performing. I believe she's bringing snakes for her performance.
Okay.
I had to ask Milky's if snakes was okay, and a struggle is real tip for anyone booking shows. Milky's is okay with snakes.
Okay, I'll write that down.
That's gonna be in the final segment. I think we'll have to mention that again.
Snakes.
I'll edit that out. Snakes at Milky's. That's what we learned. I'll edit this out, but we used to, in past episodes, we actually at the end would do like, what did we learn today?
Yeah, okay.
And
I really like those.
No,
that's
but
a cool idea.
As the everything gets fragmented, it gets hard. We'll have dancing by Honey Giselle, and we're going to have live art. Erica Wolfling, who is a local singer-songwriter as well, she's going to do some chalk art on stage. We're actually going to make her a canvas. We're going to use whatever blackboard paint there is, and she's going to perform on stage while the bands go. We're also going to have local artist Jay Hawkins Sr., who's also a local rapper who's quite good, and Christopher Cleveland, and they're going to be making art while the bands perform.
That's awesome. I like that.
So, pulling from the pocket vinyl idea.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and it's going to be a great show, and come on out. It's, let your freak flag fly.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of your last times to get Infringement Festival merch if you're interested before the festival starts. Otherwise, you're going to have to buy it online, and supplies are really limited, and I'll tell you, the merch is super comfortable. The design this year is so cool, and it has, the colors are really interesting. I'm usually not a pastel blue guy.
Yeah,
but
I like it.
I think I pull it off.
I think you do too.
Thank you. Thanks, Chandler.
I got your back.
And then on April 26th, another show that I am putting on at Milky's, we're going to have Witch, which is Ghostwater. Ghostwater has officially changed their name.
Okay.
They are now Witch, which is W-I-H-I-C-H, and that space, W-I-T-C-H.
Yeah. So not to be confused with the sandwich place.
Well, it could be witch, like just saying an either version of the word witch twice.
Or
it could be backwards, witch, I love you guys. But if you have to explain to people how to spell your name, you're not doing it right. I love you guys.
I'm so sorry.
I
like the name, though. witch. All right.
And then also Pam Swartz is going to be doing some of her live looping mandolin multi-instrumental stuff. We're going to have Christina Stock. Who is lovely. She's going to be doing her kind of smoky voiced folky performance. Her band is down to her and a drummer for right now, so I'm just trying to build it back up, so at least it'll just be the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Jan DeSantis, who I mentioned in the previous show segment, she'll be performing at that. I might be performing with her if we can get. Still got to work on a little more material, but if that works. One way or the other, she's playing. I might be with her or not, but she's playing. She's great. You should check her out one way or the other. I love Shannon Vanderlyn. I saw her last night. I will continue to tell people. I think she's got... I don't know if she has the best voice in Buffalo, but she has my favorite voice.
Yeah, she's unbelievable.
And then Erica Wolfling's playing. I've seen her art. I've actually never seen her perform, so I don't really know what to expect out of her, but I know the Infringement crowd and a lot of the local singer-songwriters are really, really like her music, so I think she's going to be great. And then we're going to have a DJ Soyotos dance party.
Okay.
To finish off the night. So, check out those shows. They're all going to be super fun. Honestly, I kind of looked it over. There's not a lot of really good stuff in Buffalo in April.
Yeah,
March and April are usually the most dead months.
Yeah.
So, try and get out to these three shows. They're going to be really awesome. We will play a track by Christina Stock right now. Mm-hmm. So here's Nowhere Seems Nice by Christina Stock here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
And we're rolling.
Nowhere sounds nice right now. I'm too tired to do anything. Nowhere sounds nice, I think I'll stay. Nowhere sounds nice right now. Let's hitch a ride to the other side of town, where no one knows my name. Nowhere sounds nice right now. I'm too high to do anything. Nowhere might make that seem okay. Let's start the night right now. We'll get drunk inside just to pass the time, then ride it through the day. Better if you'd stay. Nowhere sounds nice right now. Pick a time, we'll do anything. Nowhere sounds nice. Nowhere sounds nice right now. Let's take a drive to the other side, someplace where we can hide away. Stay until it's warm enough to rain.
It's time to stop! No more!
And that is all we have for episode number 33.
Wait, where was I?
What?
I was there at the beginning, and I'm here at the end. Where was I?
Young one, you must first survive Will Webb's Riddles 3.
Who is Will Webb?
And that is question number one.
You can find Chucky Campbell's music on all major streaming platforms. Also, check out All WNY at allwny.com or by downloading the All WNY app. There you can find the local music stream and its family of podcasts, including The Skeleton Closet with Carl Winslow, Corey Comments, The Nick and Dan Show, The Think So Joe Show,
hosted by Karina DeFabio and Famous Anus,
and our favorite podcast, The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, where you can learn about how to properly use a darkroom and also how to detain illegal immigrants in it.
You can find us at facebook.com/thestruggleisrealpodcast. We are on Twitter at SIRpodcastNY. And you can also reach out to me on Twitter at Sir William Idle. That's all for us. Cassidy, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
And being a musician is chaos, so please be kind, and we'll see you next time. Keep struggling.